So just a great time. Drop the nets again, the Lord Jesus said, and there was instant success. We looked at our first point, the church at work, as we looked at verses 1 through 3. I'm going to hit some of the highlights and keep moving along here quickly if I can. One of the things we learned in that point is one of the primary objectives that we have as a church is fishing. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." That is a primary objective and task of the church, evangelism. Another lesson we learned here in this portion of Scripture is hard work. Fishing for fish and for men and women and children is hard work. You know, there were a lot of doors banged, knocked on. A lot of people witnessed too. And of late, we have seen three little souls come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a hard task. It is hard work. But it is a work that as a church we must do. Jesus said in John 15:5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so we trust in him. I also reshared the threefold vision that I have for the church for the next year, and that is prayer, which we started to emphasize this morning, and we'll be looking for commitments in two Lord's days for that. And of course, prayer will lead to revival. We must have personal church and national church revival in this country or we're done. That's what has to happen. So we must pray to that end for revival. And then as our souls are revived, it will lead us into the third task of soul winning, evangelism, winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to have been around people who, they were just soul winners. That's all you can say about it. And there's a fellow that used to come here to church towards the end of his life, and can't even think of his name. But he had been a member down at Emmanuel, and he lived down here in Carlisle, and towards the end of his life, he could not travel much down there, so he would come here. And he would sit right about where Terry Kelly is. But that fellow, wherever he went, man, if he ran into somebody, they were getting the gospel. Oh, to be like that. I want to be like that. Do you want to be like that tonight? I hope you do. I believe that the vision will make it work. It's going to happen. Prayer, revival, and soul winning. You can work hard. You can serve well. You can go soul winning. You can teach and you can preach. But until our dependence is on God, it's not happening. Anything we do in our flesh is going to be a total failure and we'll live a defeated life. Our second point we looked at is the church's lesson. And basically the lesson is never give up. Never give up. The fishing expedition was over and they were beat. And they were tired, and they caught nothing. And Jesus said, "Throw the nets down again." And, oh boy, they had failed so much. And Peter had failed time and time again. But Peter became a great, great man of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, these clay pots, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." We must be broken vessels, broken so that the light of Christ can shine from us. Jesus knew that his disciples did not catch a single fish, and to their eternal credit, they admitted that they had caught nothing. That is what Jesus sanctified. Failure can be the most creative thing in the life of a believer. Now tonight as we continue in John 21 with point number 3, the church's faithfulness. The church's faithfulness. John chapter 21, we look at verses 6, 7, and 8. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Does that sound like a good idea? Do you think we really should cast the net? Is that a good idea? They thought so. And they did it. That's a sure thing. Jesus said, cast it. You will find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Now, I think it's quite astounding that movies can be made about the life of Christ and they can't read this and get it right. It's just incredible to me. I think this is pretty clear, don't you? Peter was not alone on the lake. There were six other disciples out there with him. And Jesus was not up there. He was on the shore. And the fish didn't start jumping. They filled the net. And as they filled the net, it got tight. And John realized, it is the Lord. He knew. Bang, it is the Lord. As that net drew tight, and he knew the fish were just getting in that thing, and it was just going to drawing to a close, and man, it is getting full. It's just amazing how great our God is. You know, we need to trust the Word of God and not what man tries to put on a screen. The church's faithfulness, we must be like John. Be like John. John was ready. When John saw the net tighten with all of those fish, he yells, it is the Lord! Here, the youngest disciple, he gets it first. Isn't that amazing? John was one of those believers that was tuned in. He was dialed in all the time, it seemed like. He was just wanting to learn and wanting to pick up. And then Peter, the action figure, grabs his fishing coat and he puts it on and into the water he goes. He dives in. He gets to the shore and there he stands. First one there to see the Lord on the shore. Dripping wet, big toothy smile. There's Peter. Great time. The fishermen are a picture of the church toiling on the seas of life. That was the picture we get from the disciples. And here we are today in 2016, toiling on the seas of life. How shall we toil? I think the best thing we can do is grab onto this prayer effort, experience revival, which will turn into filling this place with new converts. That's what God wants. We're on the sea of life. We're toiling. We are working. And the disciples learned, and we have to learn, that it is Christ that brings the increase. They were out on the sea. They were doing their best. They were pro fishermen. They knew what they were doing, casting their nets all night long. They got nothing. But when they listened and they followed Christ, put them on the other side, and boom, instant success. Without Christ, we can do nothing. God's resources are always perfect. And notice this time, the net never broke. The net did not break, and they hauled all those fish to shore. We have to learn, you have to learn, I have to learn, we have to learn to put our trust in God. Do not trust yourself. Do not trust yourself to get it done. That is the last thing that you should do. You know, when we trust in ourselves, it's like us going after Moby Dick the whale with a pocket knife that doesn't even lock back. You know, we're done. We're not going to get it done. We need God. We need His strength, His power, His might. That brings point number four. The church's reward. The church's reward, verses 9 through 14. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. All right, breakfast was ready. Jesus had it cooked. Probably the best fish and chips they ever had. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And we're going to see something significant about that. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. Did trout season start yesterday? I wonder who caught 150. I guess not allowed to catch 153. 153. Imagine that, 153 trout. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Written by one of the disciples, John, who was there. Really neat. The church's faithful, or the church's reward. As we look at this portion of the text tonight here in John 21, we have a figurative look at eternity. It happened, the events of this story happened so long ago, 2,000 years, and yet it pictures the believers receiving their eternal reward. Right now, we are serving God on the dark seas of life. The risen Savior wants us to focus on the fact that He is on the eternal shore. He is on the eternal shore with the ever-increasing light getting brighter and brighter, and He is preparing a table for us. We see that here in this text as He prepares this meal, has it ready for His disciples. They get to land. Eternal value. It is another powerful truth that we are being taught here, that our works for Him have eternal value. The little, tiniest thing that we do in the power of the Holy Spirit for Christ, it has eternal value. The tiniest thing that no one else saw, Jesus saw, wrote it down. It's permanent. There is eternal value in the things that we do for Him. I want to notice here that Jesus already has the fish cooking on the fire, and He asks the disciples, bring of your catch, and let's put that on the fire. Okay? It pictures the fact that the Lord Jesus accepts our work and toil to the provision that He's already given. He asks, bring it over. We're going to use that too. He didn't really need their catch, did he? He didn't need their catch, but he invited them to add it to the breakfast. He taught them that the believer's works are of value and that they have eternal merit. Your service for Christ brings eternal fruit. As we think on the works that we do for Christ and His power in His will, because He wants us to do, not from us, but what He is directing us to do, through the power of His Spirit, you realize it's going to last longer than the Sears Tower. That's a great, magnificent building. But it's going away, but the works that you do for Christ are not going away. They are of eternal value. And the disciples knew that it was the Lord. And that knowledge that we also have and will always have is going to be our increasing reward as well. The knowledge of the Lord. Paul says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, I know some little, but then shall I know even as also I am known." We can't figure this out, but it's just going to get better and better and better throughout all of eternity. You know, we're never going to reach the peak because it's just going to get better all the time. That's our God. Here on the earth, there's so many things, it's never going to get any better, is it? People commit suicide for that reason. Oh, I can't make any more money. Oh, I can't, you know, I had a neighbor that was sort of like that. Now, he didn't kill himself, but he was very discouraged. You know, you can't be thinking about this stuff down here. You got to be thinking about eternal value, those things that give eternal value. And as believers tonight, we are all sailing in the same boat. You realize that? We're with the disciples, we're in the boat, and we're on the dark seas of life. We live in a world of much darkness. I think about how people today are getting angrier and angrier and angrier, and they're expressing it and expressing it, and they're getting more caustic and more nuts and more anti-Christ all the time. We live in a cold world. It's harsh. It's stormy. But you know what? We're in the same boat. We all have the same jobs. We're all in this thing together, all right? It's not like half the boat, you know, well, you're going to do this, and this half's going to do that, and well, we'll carve that up, well, you do this and that. No, we're in this thing together. It's all for Jesus. It's all for eternity. It's all about Him. Throwing the nets out for a catch of fish. We are to be fishers of men. Fishers of men. You know, next Sunday is an awesome opportunity for us to get people in here to church. You know, you tell them our goal. We have a goal to get at least 150 people in the church. Will you come? Will you help us to reach the goal? You know, put it out there. We can do this. It can be done. God wants it to be done. Let's trust Him for it to be done. You know, the calling that we have as fishermen in the boat, guess what? Our calling is not an option. There's no options to this. It is, yes, this is what Jesus wants us to do. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Every single believer, fisher of men. Sometimes we cast our nets out and we catch nothing. As a matter of fact, most of the time when we throw the net out, we don't catch anything. Is that right, Rob? Is that right, Joe? Is that right, Wally? We have to keep banging the doors. Why are there as many Mormons as there are? because they hit the pavement and they do it and 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 do it. They have to do it too. 2 years you're banging. We have the opportunity as fishermen in the boat to just keep casting the net. We don't have a taskmaster behind us saying, you cast for 2 years. Every day, 8 hours, for 2 years, you cast. No. Willingly, all he's done for us, let's cast the nets, cast the net, cast the net. Keep casting, keep fishing. I hate fishing, as I've said many times. I'd rather go knock on doors and go fishing for fish. I don't like that, sitting there. Bobbins out there. It's a waste of my time, you know? But you know what? You go out and throw out the lifeline and keep throwing out the lifeline and keep throwing out the lifeline. Every time you knock on a door, it's important and it counts for eternity. And you know there's going to be souls that are going to remember you and your face forever. They will remember. Someone came to my door. I might not remember their name, but I know that face. And they offered me the way to heaven, and I didn't take it. Here I sit in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. We have life-giving words for the people around us. Remember, Christianity from the cross onward has been the sanctification of failure. Christianity is the sanctification of failure. God is going to bless your work. You throw the line, you may not catch this time, but you are going to get one day. You will be successful. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. He also said, the field is white unto harvest. And that, he didn't say, maybe it, he said, it is. So there are those folks out there who are waiting, they are ready, they want us to come to their door, and we got to go out there and find those fish. We have to be honest with God, and we have to be honest with ourselves. As fishers of men, we must be obedient to the call. God is calling us. He's calling us. And with that obedience to keep casting the net, there will come a catch which will follow us into eternity. Realize that? Every soul won follows you into heaven and into all of eternity forever and ever. Everyone. 100% follow you into eternity. When John saw the great catch, he said, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. As believers tonight, we have to remember that when things look dark, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. In our failures, it is the Lord. Remember, failure can lead to marvelous victory, and should. Failure is where we learn. Failure is where we grow. Failure is where we make decisions that change things. And when our nets are full, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. When that child gets saved from the bus, it is the Lord. When that child gets saved in the after school class, it is the Lord. When that child gets saved in Sunday school class, it is the Lord. When that person who sees Christ at the door, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. It's always the Lord. When we are successful, it is the Lord. It is not us. It is the Lord. We must recognize that. We must admit that. We must relish that. It is the Lord. In all of life, it is the Lord teaching us. that we must rest and depend on Him and Him alone. Let us pray. Father, we thank You tonight for this exhilarating story of the disciples of Christ whose lives are being hugely changed following the resurrection. Father, we ask tonight that You would change our lives dramatically in these days. We ask that You might make us here tonight fishers of men. Help us to see that it is the Lord in our life, whether it's the failure or the blessing or the success. It is the Lord. And we ask that we might grow and grow and grow to be more like You. Father, we pray that in these days, that as we follow Your word and pray hard, that we would see that continued and wonderful success in the eyes of Christ. And we ask that You might bless us in a powerful way in these days. We pray, Lord, tonight that You might fill this house next Lord's Day morning. We pray that You would empower us to do the work of inviting this week and reconfirming and talking to more people. And we pray that You would give us a great host. And may we magnify the name of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.